Pray, Heavenly Father, we appreciate the grace that you extended toward us in that you have graced us with your presence, Lord. And you have come near to those who have not called upon you, and you've answered those who have not even asked, Lord. We marvel at the grace. We know it's true. We realize, Lord, at this time that many of the things we say are just mental expressions, more from the mouth than from the heart, but they are true expressions, Lord. They're absolutely mechanically correct, and we're looking, Lord, for your anointing upon them so that we'll be that life that's in that word, that life that's in our prayers, Lord. At least we believe it'll come into our prayers, into our life, Lord, and change us and get us out of here, Father. Help us to appreciate your word tonight, to open the page of this wonderful book and see the wondrous things that are in it, Lord, and rejoice in this hour in which you live to see all the scripture come together. And because this is that hour for it, how wonderful it is. We appreciate it, Lord, yet we don't appreciate enough. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts to be expanded as never before, to be bigger on the inside than on the outside, Lord, to be a people that really can just take the things that are given, which are tremendous in this hour. Feed us, O God, we pray, and we shall be fed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is the second message on anointed ones of the end time. And in this message, Brother Branham immediately sets forth a doctrinal revelation that came forth from under the seventh seal and thereby constitutes a portion of the seven thunders. Now, that's what he told us, that since the seven seals opened, this was able to come forth. And except for the opening of the seven seals, and under that seventh seal were the thunders, this could not have come forth. So it is correct in saying in this message, Brother Branham immediately sets forth a doctrinal revelation that came forth from under the seventh seal, and thereby constitutes a portion of the seven thunders. this portion of the seven thunders that we're talking about, and it is the time of the seventh seal. It shows then that this is that end time, because it could not come, as he mentioned, except at an end time, and therefore it was then part of the seven thunders. Now, there, if it weren't then, and it is then at the end time, and at this end time, this message that he brings points out that there are literally Antichrist people who are endowed with gifts of the Holy Ghost, and they use those gifts to identify themselves as prophets and teachers of the Word of God, as though they were of God and therefore authentic. So he tells us here that under this seventh seal comes forth this understanding that we have people that are absolutely Antichrist, because that's what it is. They are truly those who claim that they're anointed, and they are not anointed of God. Although they have genuine gifts, they have an anointing, which is of the Holy Spirit, and thereby they teach that they are of God. In other words, they usurp an authority it is not theirs to usurp. They try to do God a service and the people a service, which is not theirs to do. Now, he took his subject from the scriptures of Matthew 24, 23, 24. And to show that this runs in continuity in the Bible, he read from Matthew 5, 45, wherein Jesus said that the wheat and tares, the wicked and just, live by the same rain from God, the same sunshine, the same everything. The only difference lies in the life that's in the in the thing that's growing. He amplified by this by using Hebrews 6, when God gave him a vision to show this same truth that he had already seen manifested in two Pentecostal men, wherein both were identical and were using identical and true gifts, and yet one person was a hypocrite, a regular Antichrist, while the other one was very legitimate and genuine. He then continues his subject by injecting the doctrine of election, which would show that these antichrists can partake of all the goodness of God except salvation. And we can recap this by going to page 9, beginning at 37. So he says here now, it's very strange here, see, when those seeds went into the ground, however they got there, they were thorns to begin with. Now, these are the ones he's talking about that are predestinated. They're spoken of in the Word of God that they must come. But they're like the wheat that went into the ground. The herbs were herbs to begin with. And each herb producing itself over again showed that it was in the original beginning. Now, you remember that Brother Branham made a statement about the cactus, that it really, those barbs were leaves that were rolled up. And in the millennium and the future home of the earthly bride, they'd unfurl and they would become then leaves, and they would not have that prickly armor on them. All right? But you'll notice here, he said they were thorns to begin with, and that is true, because they came up as thorns, and they'll remain thorns until God changes that at some future date, which will be, of course, in the millennium and further down on the road. So he's speaking then of that which was in the beginning, and he's likening people, even as Jesus did, to that which sprang out of the ground. The herbs, the wheat, those things are good, they're desirable, they're blessed of God, they're meant to benefit people, and they themselves are benefited by the rain, the sun, and you'll notice that the others, they are not meant to benefit people, they get in the way, they are a hindrance, they choke out, if they can, that which is good and proper. They take over usually by their showiness and their other aspects, and they literally outproduce the ones that were meant to be a blessing. So this is what you're looking at. Now, in the 38th paragraph, and they will deceive the elect if it were possible, because they're getting the same rain, the same blessing, showing the same signs, the same wonders. See, they will deceive or shall deceive the elect if it were possible. Now, a thorn cannot help being a thorn, and neither can wheat help being a wheat. It's what the creator of each one determined at the beginning. Now, he's quoting, of course, from the book of Romans, where it says, of one lump God can make a vessel unto honor, or the potter does, or one to dishonor. And the vessel cannot say, why have you made me thus? For the thing cannot reply against God. And so you're looking at a very strict, sovereign program here that many people do not want to embrace. For instance, they say, well, if that's the way it is, why bother to win souls? And when you take that attitude, then you get to be like the hard shells. And they're antinomianists. In other words, they believe that there is a salvation without means. And that, to a degree, is partly true under the fifth seal. And some, perhaps, with the Gentiles, which we might not be too much aware of. But the foolish virgin, of course, they come by way of some type of salvation. Something in there is working. But you'll notice here then, they may say, well, why should we even bother to go out there and do anything? Because they're already going to come in. But you'll notice that Brother Branham is pointing this message to this hour. And we go to the next paragraph, and you begin to see something. Now, we went over this last Sunday, but we're not covering it. We didn't cover it last Sunday. We'll cover it today. You could cover these messages 10 times in a row and bring out 100 times more material. It's just like the Bible. Because it is the Bible for this hour. It's preached to us. Now, speaking then, continuing, he says here, the sun rises of a morning and spreads across the earth as it had this urban day that we live in. Now, that word urban, of course, is opposed to rural, and we thought in terms of Lot sitting at the gate, a lukewarm condition. Babylon is a great city. But I got thinking, just driving down the road the other day, that Brother Branham often used words that are very good words, and you were surprised that he used them. And I was wondering if it's possible that he might have used the word urbane and cut it short and called it urban. For the word urbane, and could be pronounced urban if you wanted to cut your words, means polite, suave, and polished. We're increased in goods, don't lack a thing, we've got it all. And it's John saw a beautiful church, and everything was just, oh, marvelous. And so he could be using the word urbane here rather than simply urban, and like you could use the word urbanity, urbanity. I suppose the pronunciation would be more today than urbanity. So he could have been using that word, and that word fits in perfectly in the hour in which we live. They're highly polished speakers. Like they criticized Brother Branham because he couldn't say amen just exactly right. I'm not saying I'm saying it right here. But they criticized him because of his pronunciation or lack of pronunciation. They couldn't criticize him, as he said, concerning his character. There's no way they could. But they had criticism elsewhere, like Floyd and I were reading a book in a bookstore, the Army over there in Columbus, and he picked up a book on cults. He's interested. I've given up on it because it's a bunch of junk anymore. But it's interesting. You want to look at it. So he brought it to me and showed me. And in there, they were criticizing Brother Branham. He had not gone to some reputable school of theologians that he might be properly taught. Oh, watch. Yuck. Show me one smart person in the Bible outside the Apostle Paul. You say, well, David didn't have any education. Psalm, he didn't have much education either. And neither did they go very far when you compare to Paul. And the prophets were old rugged old guys, old woolly bears, woolly worms coming down the road, just like Brother Branham said, bald-headed, eyes glinting in the sun, sheepskin around, and who gave a rip, you know. So this one of these urbane days. Now let's listen here. And the same sun that rises in the east is the same sun that sets in the west. Now listen carefully. And that sun is sent to ripen the grain upon the earth, which our bodies are made of. So that's Malachi, the sun of righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. Now, this falls in line with 38 on sovereignty. For this reason, age number 6 was the great age of revival and pollination, the spread of the gospel. When you come to the 7th age, there will be very few saved. It'll be strictly minimal. And those that will be saved, truly born again, and get out of here, will be under the absolute sovereignty of Almighty God, the elect. And it is not only elect, but very elect, signifying two things. The foolish virgin won't have a chance. They'll die or burn. And also, you're looking at the fact that these are the very elect, because these are the only one en masse. And even if there's only 10 of them, get their body changed. That's en masse. And get out of here. And bypass a resurrection. The only ones we know in history, whatever happened, we don't know, Elijah and Enoch. There's no others. Christ himself died to be a first fruit. And so therefore, to be a first fruit, the encompassment of the first fruit will positively lie in the realm of death, resurrection, and then the rapture. You see? So, you understand then what we're saying. When you talk about the fact that Jesus died in order to raise the dead, how does God get around not taking everybody in debt? See, there's a mystery right there. But Jesus made a promise, and he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me should never die. Do you believe this? In other words, there was a small group of people who would come to that place. So therefore, through the 6 church ages and well into the 7th, up to this very time, because Brother Branham is talking about his own ministry and message here, not Pentecost, not from 1906, but mostly from about 1958. Because from 46 to about 58, the signs and the wonders were there, pointing to this man who would bring this last day word, all of this pointing to 1963, which would be the opening of the seals, where you get the finalization. So, all the ministries to this point, the sun coming this way, which is the light or the word, salvation coming, was meant to be for the soul and the spirit. And the body guaranteed a resurrection by the soul having been sealed in. But now, you're talking about bodies. See? Bodies that'll change and get out of here, and bodies that'll come out of the ground. Now, we go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we look a little bit there, say in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, these all died in faith. Now that's what the text is in here, in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. But we have something better. And they without us cannot be made perfect. And this is written as examples to us. The records of the hearers of faith are not made manifest until down the road, at perhaps the presentation. But this is the record. Now, Paul is speaking in terms of the Ephesian church, which should have gone in a rapture. Not death, but in a rapture. That's what this church is going in, this bride. Now, they without us cannot be made perfect. So these people here cannot come to a state of perfection, which means a conclusion, without us. Remember, and he says in Malachi, the world is in such a miserable condition, it is so horrible, that if I do not send Elijah the prophet, I would have to destroy utterly. And so, therefore, it would be that these could never be made perfect. Because there has to be a people get out of here and not die. And if any group should die, this is the group that should die. Not age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but age 7. See, and in here is the age where he will manifest himself and come to the Gentiles. He came to Jews, Matthew 12, and in there presenting himself, then the people crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh. Now, that's what Brother Branham taught us here, so that's what he said. Now, he also said Lutherans and Methodists, Pentecostal, that have gone on, their elect, cannot be made perfect without us. There's some better thing, then, is our portion. Now, reading the 12th chapter, which if you remember, I brought this out in about 1980 or 1981 in this same church here. But my thoughts, though we're perfectly zeroing in, they weren't the thoughts that I have today because we were a lot farther down the road. Where before I saw something, as I warned you continuously, I see something, I'll preach it. Knowing the day will come when I'll really see it. And I have no worry. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Now that's unbelief. Disbelief. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, how do you run a race with patience? You don't run races with patience. It means you've got to gear yourself down at this end time here. And you're going to see that Brother Branham keeps wanting the people to gear down when he preaches this message. He keeps warning them to gear down. So gear down. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They without us cannot be made perfect, which means finishing. Now, he wasn't the finisher, and he couldn't be the finisher until this minute. Now, you know that from the book of Hebrews, of a big department, Romans, where it tells you concerning Israel, the fullness of the Gentiles has to be over, which is the bride, the Gentile church, the true church. That's the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Now, that's way back 2,000 years ago. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. The greatest battle is today. You have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son? Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuke him. What church age has the message of chastisement and repentance? This age. No other age has it. So this is the message that comes in the hour of the time of conclusion, the bride to get out of here, through the dead coming up upon the earth, the saints to be changed, a complete metamorphosis, and go out of there with them. For whom the Lord loveth, he changes. That's exactly Revelation 3. And scourges every son that he changes, receiveth. And remember, the scourging is in the minds. It's not your bodies that need scourging. You've got enough of that now for the fact you live here with all these plagues going on. And it gives you room to really feel bad about it, but what it is going on. Now, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father does not train or chasten? That is, put you through the ropes, but you're going to get there. But if we be without chastisement, wherever all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. And that's exactly what you see, what we're talking about, is a bastard people. That's your bunch that Brother Branham calls the false prophets. They can speak in tongues. They can win souls. They can heal the sick. They can raise the dead. They can do every single solitary thing but know the Word of God. The Son knows the Word. Because all thy children are taught of God. The bastards are not taught of God. Understand? You can't. But they'll show everything else. And they will not take training. I told you how the women tittered out there in California. Every year he said, I come back. And your hair is longer. Your shirts, your hair is short and your skirts and you got more better. Hee hee hee. It was a big joke. You can't tell them anything. After once in a while, I kind of call the women down here. I don't mean anything personal to anybody, any woman here. But just to let you know, look, you have got to watch, and the men have got to watch. Men are not watching. Women are not watching what they type. That's why you got messed up marriages, messed up everything. People don't know which way to turn, like chicken's head cut off. We're just, my God, I don't know. We're down the road 5 minutes. How many hours we got to go yet before we get out of here? People aren't serious. See, look at what he tells you right there. These are bastards to the Word of God. Amen. Antichrist. See, they don't believe in this. They wouldn't take my message on stewardship. Oh, no. Give a dollar, get 10 back. Wouldn't ever tell you get a dollar and get 10 back. I've taught you the truth. You got to have a spirit behind it. Amen. This church needs to understand that. Some of you get it, but a lot. Some of you don't get it. But you got to get it if you want to get anywhere. Just don't listen. Do something about it. Get in the spirit of things. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father's spirits and live? He's telling you, you want to get out of here standing on your 2 feet? And you come under the rod, which is the word, the correction. Brother Branham said, we come to church, not for fellowship, but for correction. What's he do, bop us on the heads of the club? No, he preached word. He preached till we were exhausted. I'd go down to Jeff there and get up at 5 o'clock in the morning or so, grab something to eat quick, stand in line, get there. And then when he got time, he got to preach. The building's so hot, and pretty soon you're slobbering, your saliva's coming down your mouth, you're falling asleep. He wanted to hear the word. Waiting for the magic word. There is no magic word. It's magic words. It's a whole message. It's Christ himself forming. You can't teach people that. How many people are going to get this message and get out of here? Come on, smarten up. 5 billion people ain't got out of here in the flood. I think we all ought to start praying God get us out of here by death, at least we know we're going to get somewhere. Not for sure you don't. We'll get further in this message. If we don't get that far tonight, I'm taking my time as I always do. You'll see where the evidence lies, whether you've got anything or not, whether Biden knows who she is. Every one of these messages points that way. The prophet continually striving with our minds. But no, we got to be back in our old denominational days. Our stupid hats and our stupid clothes. Our little nice ways. Then think nothing. They're literally blaspheming God. Hogwash. Get that junk out of your system, brother, sister. Take an internal bath. Take some arsenic. Sulfuric acid or something. Give yourself a real old internal cleansing. People lack hydrochloric acid. As you bet they do. They lack that which breaks this down in them when it comes to the food. The enzymes are missing. The immune system shot. Time to get it built up. You say, can I get it built up? You bet you can get it built up. Until you're dead, you got hope. Be subject unto the Father of spirits, for they, now we're dealing with spirits, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. We got knocked around because we displeased our parents. God doesn't knock us around because we displeased him. He's trying to give us a good education. Educo, meaning to lead out. He for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now what was his? I came to do thy will, O God. It wasn't what people thought was the will of God. It was what the will of God was in the Word. He did it. Now we have the same privilege of knowing the Word, and therefore our works are righteous and His holiness unto the Lord. It's receiving Him. The one they crucified the second time. Now no training or chastening, for the present seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, you use the peaceful fruit of the Spirit unto them exercised thereby. Certainly, it's rough on the head. It's rough on your doctrine. It's rough on your internals. Your spiritual and these things, your spiritual parts, it's rough on you. Just wait and get the answers. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, people are going to be fainting in this message. Yeah. So you see them walk up, you can tell the way they're fainting. Pitiful. It's up to us to help them. And make straight paths for your feet. How are you going to do it? You've got a guide right here in the Word of God. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Fall at peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, you know that Christ is in full manifestation today. Then why don't people see him? You think they can see that? And see that? No. Then their holiness is not holiness. They got a counterfeit. Spurious, illegitimate. Now, not because I say so. Look, it doesn't matter what I say. I can be illegitimate myself. It's what the Word of God says. We're in the hour of going into the promised land. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, fail of this message. Message of grace. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's very easy in this message, because everybody fights everybody in this message. They think you put somebody out, it means you're better in yourself. That is not it at all. I don't try to put anybody out, but I'm not going to let anybody put me out. I'm supposed to be put out if they say so. Hogwash. I make it straight. If I am wrong, I'm going to face it. If they're wrong, they're going to face it. You don't straddle the fence anymore. We're looking face to face. Who is looking in whose face? I want to know. Well, that's plain and simple. That's stating the case. What more do people want? You want any more than that? You got yourself the wrong fella here. You have to get somebody else. Yet I don't hurt my feelings. But if you want, I think it's great if you get somebody else, if that's what you want. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. What did Judas do? Sold Christ down the river. What did he do now? Sell him down the river. How did he do it? For money. We'll read that in this sermon here. For he knows that how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place to change his mind. Hebrews 6. Though he sought it carefully with tears. You can come against the message of the presence until you literally blaspheme, and they're doing it. You watch and see. It's not my doctrine. It's the doctrine of God. I want to ask you, who's here? I want to know some scripture. You say, hey, you're talking about some relative of mine. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about the truth. You got relatives, you people sitting here. Ain't no more bleed this than nothing. They'll blaspheme before it's over. Some of them will, some won't. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to lay it on your lap. You're going to get mad? Go on, get mad. Blaspheme with them. Is that what you want? That's a horse of a different color. That's a little tighter shoe on the corns, isn't it? But I want to put you there tonight. Which way are you going? I don't know what my mother saw, and I'm not going to praise my mother into heaven. She could have died an absolute sinner. She made one move toward God years and years ago. Whether that move went anywhere, I don't know whether it went anywhere. What about your mothers? Where are they? You don't know. I don't know. We just read here, sovereignty. Then you stick where you're supposed to stick. Believe what you're supposed to believe. No matter how much I love or you love, that doesn't. What has that got to do with it? Our love's all crazy. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. For he that loves the world, the enemy of God. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye. All these things that love, 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 love. Hogwash. What does God love? First of all, God loved himself. He had to. He took every precaution, no matter what it cost him, to maintain his integrity, what he really was. Everybody tells you psychologically, you don't love yourself, you hate yourself, you get nowhere. Do you think God hated himself? Do you think when God created man and knew he was going to go straight and he have a sacrifice for him, that God hated himself and said, well, I got to kill myself for it? You got your wires all crossed there, brother, sister. We all have. God's not somebody's fool. I preach tough and I hang tough. I can't help it. I look in the scripture and I see there it is. Now I'll prove it to you. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. You're not come to that place of condemnation. You are not come to the place where you said with those people, I fear God. I don't want to see him. I don't want to hear his voice. You're the people come to the place, I want to see God. And you see him in the appearing, you see him in the presence. You see him, he took his picture and he gave you his picture because he couldn't break his word. Sending a prophet. You saw him in a prophet. But what does he say? 22, but you're coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. You come right to the judge. What judge? The judge that's talking about this. You that are compassed with witnesses. You that have seen the manifestation. You that know these things. He's looking right now and judging. You think he's not? Come on. Makes you have chills. I don't know. Makes you have chills or not. I don't know what it's going to do. And notice again, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, the Father's spirits, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, to speak of better things than that of Abel. Face to face with it. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not and refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that not speaketh, but that is from heaven, because he spoke here on earth in the seven thunders. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Well, everything can be shaken down, brother, sister, but the soul that has God in it as the tiepost. And everything will be shaken down but that. And you better believe it. It'll all burn but that too. Certainly will. Not because I say so. The Bible says so. Eh? They may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. We cannot be moved. The kingdom cannot be moved. It's here. We're going to keep moving with it. And more into visibility. Let us have grace. Let's have this message. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. No, he is not until the time he's supposed to be. That is recessive. That merely lies in him, like it lay in every male to be a father. But he couldn't do it until a certain time came. Every woman to be a mother couldn't do it until a certain time came. If you couldn't be a father or mother, something wrong with you, because you're supposed to be. God Almighty is a God of fire. When? When it's time, but not before. What about that? What about this? Going to burn near shortly. So we have a very, very, we have a very, very strong message here tonight, brother, sister. Now he goes on and tells a little about salvation here. He said, we're living by dead substance. That's the only way you can live. He wants to get you off the hook. And if something has to die every day, so you live in the natural, then isn't it true that if your body has to live by dead substance for natural life, then you've got to have something die spiritually to save your spiritual life? And God became material, flesh, and died that we might live. Now, God didn't die. The flesh died. But it wouldn't corrupt either. You think God let his body corrupt? Why, the life just wondered, what's there in his body lying there dead, nothing in it? That's still the temple? No problem. And God became material, so on. There's no church, no other thing in the world can save you but God. And the only thing that they live by, that's the only thing. That's the truth. In him we live and move and have our being. There's nothing that doesn't exist by God, because he made all things, and by him all things are maintained. In other words, when God began to perpetrate his will, he never stopped perpetrating his will. Now look what he's doing here, coming down and manifesting. Not just in signs and wonders, but giving a prophet and letting his picture be taken. Now, people don't believe that. You say, well, you're crazy. I'm crazy, thank God. I'm feeling better for it, though. Now run the scriptures. Let's take a look, he said, at this business of living by God. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God. And of course we know the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And man shall not live by bread alone for the physical, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then you see we live by the Word, and that is God. That's exactly true. Because the life is in that Word. Now, in other words, spiritual life is maintained by the Word. But it is not maintained in all the way through, as it is today, because we've got the added of the physical. So for six ages, spiritual life was maintained. And now at this time, there's going to be a physical life maintained. Yeah. You follow what we're saying here? He's telling you, flesh and blood, he said, the people that are dying, they have to live by something that died. God, in the form of a man, died. The life came out, and man lives by the Word, which is that bread of life. Now, and life is maintained by the Word, and it's maintained to the spiritual extent that you have a guarantee of the resurrection in the six church ages and well into the seventh. But there comes a time when it's got to come back to the original, even as do all planted seed that has grown in the earth. And we're looking at that today. Now the sun comes across and ripens the grain. Now that's what we're driving at here. About we've had six ages in the seventh, most of it, spiritual life. But the body dies. But the guarantee is there to rise. But now at the end time, the sun in the west is guaranteeing a physical. Now I want you to keep that in mind because that's what we're talking about. It's rising with sun arise, rise with healing his wings. That's immortality. Now the sun comes across and ripens the grain through six church ages, the spiritual. But in the seventh age, you've got to go back to the seed in harvest. What went into the ground comes out multiplied. The same life in all the same forms, but not the same shapes. We won't look alike. We'll be the same. Now, it cannot ripen. That's the sun. Cannot ripen the grain all at once. First church age, second church age, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. As it goes on maturing, it constantly ripens till it comes to full ear. The measure of the Word is the measure of the Spirit, and starting back in the fifth church age, it started to come forth looking to what went in the ground. And the strong message of justification came forth just the same as Paul preached Christ and Him crucified, period. So did West do to Luther. See, justification. Then you get coming up. As it goes on maturing, it constantly ripens until it comes to a full ear. So it is today with the church. It started in its infancy back in the dark age where it was under the ground. It grew today into maturity. And we can see it perfectly how that God, through nature, always follows His program. So, in our minds, we don't think of the ripening as we perhaps should think of it. But actually, that is what the grain has been doing since its early stages, starting back with Luther. For ripening is maturing. And how do you call a thing ripe that's not developed? And how do you develop unless you mature? Because maturation means growth. We look at the thought here, we're always talking about crops, or Brother Branham, without wanting to, sort of leads us astray, getting our eyes simply on a fact of a ripening, a maturing. Maturation speaks of growth. A child's maturation little baby has got a lot on its back. Pretty soon it raises its arms and kicks its feet up. Then pretty soon rolls its head, raises its head. Then it starts to roll. Then it gets on its belly, starts kind of crawling. And it wiggles its way. Then it gets on its knees and its hands. Every one of those stages called maturation. And the kid is nowhere near being a great-great-great-grandfather, 99 years old. He's ripening. He's maturing. And you get 90 year over up. So you want to get the thought I'm driving at. Maturation. Maturing. Coming up. A growth started. We are getting there. But we haven't gotten there. But sometime you've got to get there. And get there is a reproduction. That's when you talk of real maturation, is when the female and the male can then divide themselves, multiply themselves. Reproduce themselves. You're looking at that. So, all right. We've come to the place then where the church must be reproduced in the image of Christ. So then you'll call that ripening. Maturation. So let's get the picture. Okay. You cannot disturb nature. That's what's the matter today. We're flying bombs out there in that ocean. That's the atmosphere. Breaking it and bursting it around with atomic bombs. You're just breaking more off of that dirt off all the time, dropping into it. In other words, you're just making it up above and all around. You're getting more and more in a mess, piling it up. You cut down the trees and a storm will take you. That's right. The rivers are going to overflow. Dam up the river, it'll overflow. There's more floods today than ever, with more dams. Bully for us. You've got to find God's way of doing things and stay in it. That's where Brother Branham's a conversationist. He's a good one, too. We've denominated people in the churches and organizations. Look what we got. Stay in God's provided way of it, or the church then can never come to perfection. Now, he's illustrating a man not staying with God's way in nature, and he said the same thing has happened in the church. Paragraph 44. But you see, he sends the rain, back to our subject, on the just and unjust. Now, he's talking about we've come to maturation. And maturation now is where evil has filled its cup or is filling its cup, and righteousness is filling its cup. Okay, for time. So we're all right then, see? All right. But you see, he sends the rain. Back to your subject, on the just and unjust. Jesus tells you here in Matthew, when the ripening time is on, maturation, ready to get out of here, the wheat and the garner, it would be a sign at the end time, under the seals. Now, if this sign is only to be known at the end time, then it'll have to be after the opening of those seals. In other words, it's harvest time because that's when the grain is ripe. What do you do when the grain's ripe? You harvest it. And maturation means it's complied with all the laws of God to be fit candidates to go to the kingdom. We don't have to die, so we're learning a message, learning how to get over there. See, it's a sign of the end. That would be when these things happen, it'll be at the end time. It'll be a sign. Now, so the elect will not be confused in these things. Now, I tell you, I was confused. You talk about a guy confused, I was confused. Told you many times. I was so disgusted because the little gift ministry I had had petered out. I was getting nowhere and couldn't figure Brother Branham, couldn't figure anybody. I told my wife, I said, look, I got better ditch you. At least you better at least dye your hair black. I said, I've been going with the blonde all my life. That hasn't done any good. So I get me a Cadillac, start whoring around with a black-haired dame. Maybe God will bless me. Now look out here and see what's going on. Go on, look around. It's around us, too. I held steady long enough that the prophet could get to me. I learned this before he ever preached this to you people. And that saved my life. But I understood this then, it was all right. You see, David got to the same place. He couldn't understand how the wicked prospered. Oh, boy, they got up every morning feeling like $1 million. Oh, they didn't have any trouble. They just made trouble. They never got ulcers, they gave them. Nobody pushed their banks over. He got pretty upset. So one day he got with God, he said, begin to understand, he said, what their end would be. You understand what we're saying today, what the end of these people is going to be? He said, I don't know, I like that. That's got nothing to do whether you like, I like it or not. We don't rejoice in it. Brother Brandon didn't, God didn't. But here they are, what are you going to do? This is your test of whether you believe God or not at this hour, or whether you want to go back to being the domination. Now you go ahead. You soft, nice hearted, tender hearted people? You love the, you're so much in love with everything but God and His Word? Well, you just go on back. It's, you have the privilege of doing it. Others don't even have to come in. Say, I don't like that tough message. It's crazy. You put everybody, I didn't put anybody out. Brother Branham gave an altar call about every single meeting he ever was in. Always invited people. Never turned anybody aside. He just didn't use a can opener to get their can of beans, that's all. That's why they didn't like it. He said it'll be a sign so the elected will not be confused in these things. You see it, then it's got to be revealed, exposed. Why? So we don't get confused. Here you see Abel and Gerizim again. The false and the true, the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. The blessing, the cursing. Notice, both the wheat, that's true prophet, and the weeds, false prophets, live by the same anointing from heaven. Ha, huh, that's good. Do you think people are going to believe that? Oh, come on. Both of them rejoice over it. And so they should, yeah. I remember this referring back to this incident up there at that day at Greensville. I saw that vision come up and there was a great earth. It had all been disked up, you know, all plowed up for the planting. And there went the sower forth first. I want to keep that before you. Watch what goes forth first, then what follows it. And as this man with a white garment came forth around the earth sowing seed, behind him came a man with dark clothes on, looking very sneaky, slipping along behind him sowing weeds or tares. Then after this took place, I saw both crops come up. And as they came up, one was wheat and the other was weeds. And there came a drought, and it looked like both of them had their heads down crying for rain. Then there came a great cloud over the earth, and it rained. And the wheat raised up and said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the weeds, or the tares, raised up and hollered, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They were shouting even better. Same results. Both of them perishing. Both of them fading away. Then the wheat comes up and gets thirsty. And because it was in the same field, the same garden, the same place, under the same spout, there came up the wheat and there came up the tares by the very same thing. Wasn't that like the beginning? When God had his way in the garden? You know, there were no tares. But after the devil got in there, the tares came up. Out there. Now, let's just take a look over here at Zechariah 10. And we read this many, many times, you know, so. Not as many times as Malachi. But here it is. Verse 10. Chapter 10 of Zechariah, verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Now he tells you right there, at the time of the latter rain, there'd be rain. What rain would that be? The same as in Hosea, the former rain. There would be the former rain in the time of the latter rain. And it's the latter rain that does the damage, so the former rain is not accepted. Because the former rain is a power ministry. And the latter, and rather beg your pardon, the latter rain is a power ministry, Pentecostal, gifts and all restored, and the former rain is the teaching under the teacher. That's exactly what we see in what we read over here in the book of Acts. And he quotes from Hosea. But you got to quote the whole thing and get with it. Tells you right here in the second chapter, 16th verse, 70th verse, it come to pass the last day, saith God, upon a spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters prophesy, your young men see visions, your old men dream dreams, and on my servants and handmaids, I will pour those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And right after that comes the great tribulation. But he said, during that time, those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What name are they calling on? Are they calling on the Son of God or God the Son? If they're calling on God the Son, they're not going to get anywhere. Now you may say, I don't think that's true, because an ignorant person could call on God the Son and that'd do it. There isn't any ignorance anymore now, brother, sister. And you're going to find that this message identifies the elect and identifies the non-elect. What are you going to do about it? So, well, I don't think I like that. Well, you do what you want, then. You tell God. Who are you going to get getting to expose himself? You hit him with a club or something. Because he's here, you know. You don't have to pull him down out of heaven. You have to go to heaven to find out anymore. He's here. Very convenient if you want to start a fight. I talk like this, but you know people aren't going to believe that for 1 minute. I see you're just making an overkill. It's not an overkill. They wouldn't believe an underkill or overkill. It doesn't matter which area you look at it. Now, same result, both them perishing, both fading away. And then the wheat comes up and gets thirsty. And because in the same field, same garden, same place, under same spot, there came up the wheat, there came up the tares by the very same thing. That's exactly true. Same as the Garden of Eden. Pardon me. Notice, the same anointing water, rain, bringeth forth the wheat, brings forth the tares. The same Holy Spirit that anoints the church, that gives them the desire to save souls, that gives them the power to perform miracles. It falls on the unjust, the same as the just, the very same Spirit. Now what are they going to do? They're going to win souls. To what organization? They're going to do all this? Absolutely. Now you can't make it any other way and understand Matthew 24:24. Now this is a revelation, not a theological conclusion. It's just like when Brother Branham said the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes into the church, which is Ephesians 1:17. Just for fun, in this bookstore, I picked up what the great theologians say. What do they say about this verse? And they say, now just a minute. Nobody knows what this verse is. Because you see, the Ephesians already got the Holy Ghost. So what this is, we don't know. Ah, they're smart. That man likely had the Holy Ghost that wrote that book. Like Rotherham, when it came to the Perusia. He said, well, wait till God tells us what it is by manifesting it. He had the Holy Ghost. How many people could write books of theology like that? Only William Branham. You know, the closest book to true theology that's written in this world, And I'm not patting myself on the back. It's the church ages, the exposition of seven church ages. When it comes to what has been put together, Brother Branham, of course, brought the revelation. I put it together the way I want. I could do the seals of seven, with the seven seals the same way. I have no doubt in my mind I could do it if I wanted to do it, but I don't want to do it. And that is the great, great mystery of 6,000 years having been exposed. And you think for 1 minute people are going to take that? Come on. There's no way they can't do it. See, because they couldn't accept little Billy Branham, little hillbilly. My, my. He said, there shall arise false Christs, false anointed ones, anointed with the genuine thing, but be false prophets of it, false teachers of it. Now, this is the maxim that Brother Branham is setting forth, the premise, the subject. Why is this so? Because it's the same Spirit that gave the Word and the revelation of it that is doing this. The same Spirit that gave the Word, Matthew 24:24, is revealing it. And you think the false are going to admit it. No, they cannot admit it. They won't do it. What would make a man want to be a false teacher of something that's truth? Why would you want to lie about the truth? Now, we'll get down to the mark of the beast in a few minutes and we'll see his denomination. See, false teachers, false anointed. Now, you see, there's a kind of a little bad statement there, false anointed. Makes people think their anointing is false. The anointing is not false. The guy is false. See? False teachers, anointed ones who are false to the Word, anointed Christ, but false teachers. It's the only way you can see it. So that's thus saith the Lord. You have an actual revelation there that's under the seals, seven seals, which is one of the thunders. This is part of the mystery of iniquity, without a doubt. Just like here some time ago, I've quoted this. I might quote it because we're hooked up across the nation. One day I was talking to a friend of mine where this is coming in this morning in Arizona. He preached in Jeffersonville, went to Arizona by a telephone. He had a citrus farm. That fellow's name is Mr. Sherrill. He had a tree there, which was an orange tree, with bearing grapefruit, lemons, tangerine, tansers, apricot, many different fruits around that one tree. And I said to the man, how is it? What kind of a tree is that? He said, the tree itself is an orange tree. I said, why has it got grapefruit on it? Why has it got lemons on it? He said, they're grafted into it. I said, I see. Well now, next year when that tree comes forth with another crop of fruit, which is all ripened about the same time, I said, then it'll bring forth altogether oranges. If it's a navel orange tree, it'll bring forth navel oranges, won't it, sir? He said, no, sir. Every grafted branch will bring forth fruit of its kind, what the branch is, where it came from originally. See? Where did the Lutheran Church come originally? Catholic. First organized church. Where did Methodists come from? Catholic. They'll tell you no, but they're crazy. The Baptists are really crazy. They think they can trace themselves back to John the Baptist. Ha! Ha! No more than Pentecost can say they're Pentecostal on the grounds that they spoke in tongues at Pentecost. What? You know, I said, you know, we're supposed to be crazy. I've got a good sense of humor. Very ironical. But my God, we are not stupid and crazy at the same time. At least we got some vindication. Not ours, but the prophet. What have they got? See? I said, you mean that lemon branch will bring forth a lemon out of that orange tree? He said, yes, sir. Will the grapefruit bring forth a grapefruit out of that orange tree? Yes, sir. That's the nature of the branch that's grafted into it. I said, praise be to God. He said, what do you mean? I said, one more question. Now, will that orange tree ever bring forth oranges again? Sure. When it puts forth another branch, but it's got to be an orange branch from an orange tree. And the tree is there. But maybe the tree might not put forth another branch. But in this case, it will, of course, you know, because we're talking about the branch tree. Okay, the tree of life, too. When it puts forth another branch, not when one's grafted into it, but they're all citrus fruit and they live off the citrus life that's in the citrus tree. See, God's tree, his bride tree, they've used it for denominational growth and everything else, but they get cut off. All lopped off, all branches. But one day he's bound to bring forth a true branch, because that's what he did in the beginning. He's got to bring forth another Ephesus. That's exactly what we saw in the paradox. We know it's true. I said, there you are. The Methodists will bring forth Methodists every time. That's right. The Baptists bring forth Baptists every time. The Catholic bring forth Catholics every time. The church of the living God will produce Christ from the roots, the word every time, if it ever puts forth another vine of its own. Now, he will refer that to himself to begin with. Okay, this end-time anointing will bring forth denominations, as illustrated. Roman Catholics will speak in tongues and claim to be full of the Holy Ghost and stay absolutely with the Catholic Church. So therefore, when you speak of fruit, you know one thing. Fruit is not fruit unless it is God's fruit, which is the Word. First of all, if you don't have the Word, I don't care what your fruit is or you think you have. That's why I said this church stands on the Word and Word alone and nothing else but it, because out of it we expect every grace and every virtue, every character, everything to come from that Word, or it isn't worth that.
Amen.
But remember, you got to die to get it. There's a getting out of the way. All those virtues are there if you're born again. Everyone, all seven, Brother Branham said. Well, there's eight. The last one is not a virtue, it's God himself manifesting his great virtue. Now, you can graft it in there, you see. Every grapefruit, lemon, tangerine, whatever the citrus fruits they are, every one of them can live in that tree, but bearing false witness of the tree, living by the tree. All right? You check the doctrine of the Lutherans, the Baptists, Methodists, Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholics, any one of them. Will they repudiate their doctrine? No way. They just added a new patch on an old garment. Speaking in tongues, everybody's happy now. Let's go back to Zechariah 3, 1 to 10. I should have read that a little previously, but... And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now, see, that's what I think I want, that 3:1-10, yeah. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. He said, and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I'll clothe thee with the change of garment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou walk in my ways, and thou keep my charge, thou shalt also judge my house, and I'll also keep my courts. Thou shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I'll bring forth my servant the branch. And behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon that stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I'll engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord God, led a horse, and I'll remove the iniquity of that land one day. And that day, saith the Lord of the hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine, under the fig tree. Now, what we're looking at there is the fact that at the time of the high priest standing before the angel Lord and Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. You've got the presence of God manifesting yourself in true legitimate signs and wonders, and you've got Satan standing there with his gang against the true prophet of God. And at that time is when we're ready for the millennium, because that's what it says, every man under his own vine and fig tree. So it's going on right now. So we're looking at it. Now, notice again, every one of them can live in that tree, but bearing false witness of the tree, living by the tree. You see it? They are living and thriving on the genuine life that's in that tree. Now there's Matthew 24:24. That's what it is, he said. Living by the same life, but they weren't right at the beginning. The tares were tares. They're living on the same soil, the same elements, the same absolutely everything. No difference except the life that's in it. And that has everything to do with the chemistry. That's why you get your eyes off the chemistry and get it on what the life is. That's why you put down everything to get the life, which is this message, because nothing outside of it will come to life. So you want this wherein the life is, then you're going to get the rest. But if you play this down and something else out there, you're wrong. There's misunderstanding amongst us. Perhaps a lot of it's my fault. I keep on telling you people, look, I wish you had an honest-to-goodness pastor here to give you pastoral instructions. I do a little bit before I preach. But I'm giving you the thing that really counts today. All the other instruction won't mount to a hill of beans. I've heard better legalists preach than Brother Branham ever thought of preaching. How much for his sermon on short hair, long hair, and clothes and all? We're up there in Boston. And you talk about a bunch of legalists. And they were so legal, Brother Branham and I grinned at each other. Grabbed each other's knee in the back seat of the car. So they wouldn't catch on. Laughing at him. We got out of the car, he said, you watch. He said, I'll fix them. He said, they're legal. I'll fix them, he said. When he said, now he preached his famous legalist sermon. And when he got in the car, they said, oh, Brother Branham, we ate that up. Our men don't even shave on Sunday. Well, I got so tickled. Because I never did go along Brother Branham's line. I didn't until years later. I couldn't see it because I was too much of eternal security. I was much imbued with the Baptist doctrine at that time. I said, boy, I said, that'll teach you to preach your legal sermons. I said, boy, did they cap your, did they crown you? And they took you all your aces away. But I tell you what, he couldn't out-preach those birds. No way, shape, and form. They don't legal maneuver him any day of the week on their sermons. And trump his ace every time. But he had a word, brother, sister. I don't care how nice this church gets, how everything you do so meticulous, that's wonderful. I hope you do. But that's not going to get you out of here. Now, it's a good thing. Not following it. Brother Brandon says, people go to church not to be bad, to be good. They become Catholic, confess their sins, do this and do that, not to be bad, to be good. And so the priests go to the, and they become priests. They take a vow of celibacy, and they're going to be good men, so they don't touch women. A whole bunch in Boston got AIDS, right? Where'd you get it? Women? No men. Big investigation going on. Read your papers. Oh, we like nice people. They don't go there to go to hell. They want to get better. And they turn down this word where the life is. You see what I'm trying to get across tonight? What Brother Branham was trying to get across. That this is life and death, period. Life and death, period. I kill. I make alive. I make alive. I kill. What do you want to do? This is it here. That's it. That's what Zechariah said here. Behold, this is the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Seven spirits before the throne. Here they are, came down. God's not seven spirits. Manifest seven ways. Same spirit coming up through the ages. Now at the end. Pillar of fire back. Bones of millennium. See, the old citrus tree. The great life of Almighty God. He bears all things. He bears long with these people. See? Just at the first, in the garden, just outside the Garden of Eden. Look at that. In the Eden was the tree of life, the tree of death. Outside of Eden, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. They say this church, this denomination is bearing record of Christ. That's what the Catholics say. Hallelujah, says the Pope. Look at me, I'm the vicar. Well, if the Pope represents Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be interested. Not the Pope's a bad man. He's clever, he's a nice man, a good man, no doubt. I wouldn't be interested. Because he's going to die. He almost got him a few years back. The good die young, not the old boys. That's why I've lived so long, I guess. This church, this denomination, bear record of Christ. Are they bearing record of Christ? Who bears record of Christ outside of this church here? For many miles. They're not going to bear record of Christ. This sermon bears record of Christ. An exposition. And got a false baptism, false witness of the word, trying to say that the power of God was only for the disciples. Now, he's not talking about an issue here in some of these points. He's just trying to say these what these people say. Church of Christ said, well, it was for the 12 apostles. That's all. Church of Christ is crazy. How insane can they get when they know they're wrong right from the scripture? Wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Now, it doesn't mean you got a lot of eyesight to open yourself to everything. But it means you sure shut your eyes if you close your eyes to truth. Jesus himself said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every branch. Every tree will ever bring forth. Every branch will be in that tree. He's kind of garbled there, and I'm not going to pretend to unravel it for you. And these signs shall follow the genuine branches. Where? As long as it's in a tree, as long as it's putting forth branches to the end of the world. Now, here's what will happen. In my name, they'll cast the devil, speak a new tongue, take up servants, drink deadly things, lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. See the hour we're living. See what Jesus said. In other words, he's talking about the end time here. At this particular time when the false anointing was come, so don't forget that. But he's also saying here that all through the ages, There has always been a legitimate tree and a legitimate branch. And then what happens? The life goes out. The life of Christ is no longer borne witness to because it's not there. So now they're bearing witness to themselves, which are denominations. So I kind of paraphrased it, Brother Branham said, and I put it this way, whether I'm right or wrong, I don't know. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and thereby plant a tree which will bring forth every branch that shall be, and the genuine branch will bring forth after the word. In my name, they'll do these things. And you'll find through the ages there was a little sporadic touch everywhere. Something was done. There was some little ministry, some gift going on. But at the end time, you will find that that no longer obtains. The churches will all be doing it, and to be to deceive all but the very elected, because the elected cannot be deceived. Now remember, this was at the end time. What was the end time? The false anointed ones. When they're false to the word, but they've got gifts and manifestation that makes them think they are right. Now yet, if the Protestant church ever condemned the Catholic church, but can admit that the Pentecostals are genuine people, and now the Roman Catholic Church speaking in tongues. The Roman Catholic Church is thoroughly vindicated according to this world. And so we're not so bad after all. Sure, we had some bad folk. We had a couple of bad popes. We made a bad mistake or two. But look, we got to be right. They won't change their doctrine. Now, what can the Protestants do about it now? Nothing. What can America do? Send out advances now that they had a Catholic president? No. It's all over. See? Remember, this was at the end time, not back under Wesleyan back there. Now at the end time, this was to take place. Now watch the scriptures. Let them testify. Jesus said, search the scriptures. Bring them you think you, or believe you have eternal life, and they are the ones that testify me. In other words, if this tree ever brings forth a branch, and I am the vine, the tree. You are the branches. He that believeth in me, the works shall I do, shall he do also. Now, Brother Branham categorically says that God bringing forth a branch in the bride tree, the tree of life, God bringing it forth will bring forth John 14 and 12, which is the singular, which is the vindicated prophet, which is Elijah. Now, that's what he said. You do what you want. The prophet's vindication heralds a new branch, the seventh branch, that's going to get out of here. Now he that abideth in me, he that was in my root at the beginning. And he that abides is what's in the root. This is election, predestination. That's the reason Jesus was both the root and offspring of David. He was before David, in David, and after David, both root and offspring of David. Why? Because it's the same life. In the measure it's supposed to be. In the measure that was in David was to bring forth a body. But to bring forth God, God himself had to get into the body. So that life that brought him forth after the flesh was the life of God that came after the flesh. Then when the flesh was there, now the life itself, the person himself could come in. The life. All of it. Both off root and offspring of David. Morning star, rose of Sharon, into the valley, Alpha and Omega, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, both root and offspring of David. Right. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. Why callest thou me good, none good but God? Tongue twisters, as it were. No. Just the truth. He said, you're looking at me in a body, calling me God. He said, forget it. Before Abraham was, I am. Who was that talking? He that is the elected life, the predestinated life that's in me, and he is in the word from the beginning. When he comes forth, he'll bear my fruits. St. John 14:12. That is, of course, what? Matthew 12. But others will live by the same thing, call themselves Christians and believers. Not all that saith Lord, Lord, enter in. This is when the baptism with the Holy Ghost gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. This is the parousia, the epiphaneia, the phanerole. The apocalypse is all starting down here. At this time, this is called the appearing. Now, Brother Branham is speaking of the life. He's speaking of the life, and the life is of God. And the life is God life. It is God himself. Let's look at it. 1 John. Now, I'm not talking riddles. I hope you're following me because I'm making a differentiation in terminology. Terminology means much. The lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon is the one and the same person. All right. Spirit and life is one and the same person, God. So don't get confused. They're the same. But the terminology differs in order to give you a deeper insight. So now watch. 1 John 1:1-3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And that's what he says in John chapter 1:1-3. For the life was manifested, that's phanero, completely, absolutely vindicated the life we're talking about. And we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, which was the Father. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That which we have seen, and declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now it says two things you've got fellowship with. One is the Father, one is with the Son. So, all right, how do you go to God? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you deal with Him? Certainly you can. You don't just reference the Son. All right, now what are we looking at here? The emphasis, of course, here is on the life. But remember, Spirit is what He is. And Spirit cannot be seen. And though intrinsically you do not ever think of life as being invisible, though it is, you refer to life as something which is animate that you know is living and breathing, or as they say, it can take on nourishment and give off waste. That's life. Even a tree does it. So it's got life. Now it's Spirit. Not just life, it's Spirit. But we're talking about, to our natural understanding, what we know to be animate, which we can deal with. And you cannot deal with the Spirit. No man can see God and live. No man has seen God or will see God. Yet he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How we're talking of life now. And life is the same thing as Spirit, but you're putting it in another realm. Another application. You follow me what we're saying here? But I think this is necessary to understand what we're dealing with when Brother Branham uses these things. See? Now you're talking about life. It's going to bring forth a fruit. We talk about fruit comes forth in the Spirit. But we talk about life bringing a Spirit. What is it? The Spirit of God moves into our lives, which are in a body. Now it begins, a fruit comes out. A character comes out. You see? And the testimony is to the Word. Now, when He comes, He'll bear my fruits. Certainly He will. He manifested John 12:14-12. But the others will live by the same thing, call themselves Christians and believers. Not all that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter in. So the identification is not with the people, it's with a person. It's not with manifestors, it's with a manifestor. And it must be John 14:12. And nobody had what he had. Now, this is to take place and to be manifest in the last days when the mysteries of God should be finished, as we get ready later. All right, we're in the process of the finishing. Partaking of His fullness. We are now partaking of the fullness. And the capping off the sun sets in the west brings us immortality. This is God's way of overriding the Scripture that said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So it's not appointed to all to die. Some are going to live. These trees, the true vine and the false vine. You've heard me preach on that some years ago. How they grew up together, brought them in as individuals, and showed from Cain and Abel the two vines that met at an altar, both of them religious, both of them anointed, both of them desiring life and worshiping the same God. Now, it had to be that. It had to be that. Then people could come right today and be worshiping the true God, and this message, they'd fall right away and go to idolatry or go to blasphemy. The only way... And one was rejected, the other received. They both desired life, both worshiped God. One rejected, one received. And the only way that the one that was received could have done anything different from his brother was because it was revealed to him. For the Bible said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. So now you've got here at this end time a message of grace. It makes you to understand your revelation is going to do it for you. How much do you believe it? How much does it mean to you? You can sit here for 1,000 years and hear me preach, and I hammer this worse than Brother Branham did. He didn't break it down word by word. I break it down word by word, and I hammer. The 80% that he taught was always the prophet, vindicated, and God on the scene, and said, this is it. He took 2 hours on a sermon. I take 45 hours on the same sermon. 45? 28 sermons at one time, one crank. That's an hour and a half. That's 14 hours, and 28 hours is 42 hours. And I could preach the same thing over again, like you take 60, and hammer the same thing. But always taking scripture on, see? Testify. Okay. The serpent seed desires life, but not on, but only on its own terms. Serpent seed always does that. They can even love God, but only according to their own dogma. They actually love their concept of God rather than love God. Just like men fall in love with sex and think it's love. They fall in love with sex instead of the woman. Well, that's okay if you're going to fall in love with her later on. But most of the time it just ends off as recreation instead of procreation. God said it's procreation. Look where the church is today. Jesus said the spiritual revelation of who he was, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, he's talking about Adam, Abel here in Cain, and it's a revelation, and pointing, it was a revelation at the time of Jesus. It's a revelation now. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter did not say, thou art God, the Son, nor did he say, thou art God. Well, he should have, he's a Trinitarian. He didn't say, thou art God, the Son, or didn't say, well, you're one of the gods. Are you a God? He said, you can't fool me, Jesus. I know you're God. There's two more of you. Or even one more of you. What did Jesus say? Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood it never revealed this gift, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it. Then can there be another revelation different from that amongst us? No way. See, Brother Branham stood between the oneness and the threeness. Now, most of us here don't even know anything about oneness. I myself know very little. I was never oneness. I was a Trinity going one way. I threw the Trinity overboard, but I couldn't figure this business of Jesus only. I did my best to make Brother Branham that too, in my thinking. How could we get there? You can't get there. He said he wasn't either one. And if he wasn't either one, he wasn't either one. Well, he said, well, I think that refers to how he baptized. It wasn't how he baptized. It was because of his belief how he baptized. You can't hear all the things Brother Branham said and not understand part of that. Little confusion. Don't worry about it. God will clear up what he has to clear up. We believe there's one God. That'll end it. Just stick with one God. See, I don't understand it, but that's it. That's what Brother Branham said. Now, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, flesh and blood of Edith. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. Upon this rock, revelation, I'll build my church. What? The true revelation of the word. There's the true vine again, able by faith. Now listen, the false are not anointed to this. We are anointed to this. Then everything else is in its place. You follow what I said? You are anointed to this. Then everything else is in its place. Whether you're called to God in the fivefold. Whether you should serve as a deacon, whether you speak in tongues, whether this, whether that. Hasn't got a, listen, this is it. The other things are added. But if you haven't got this, you aren't a fivefold true minister. You aren't a true deacon, a true elder. You don't have a genuine ministry, even though you have a genuine tongue. It won't work. You say it wasn't a revelation, but faith. What is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet. That's in manifestation. But you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, Abel offered unto God. 54. And the churches today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in the dogmatic teaching of some system. That's why they criticize Brother Branham. His big shot. All mouth and no ears. All guts and no heart. All spirit and no soul. All death and no life. All error and no truth. He said, just a minute, he's got you. No, he hasn't got truth. The Bible said, if the light in you turned dark, how great is that darkness? And Brother Branham illustrated, showed you on the board. That little light turns to darkness, you got nothing, you wiped it out. So don't try to tell me. I'm not reading your thoughts, I'm just anticipating your thoughts. I'm no prophet. So you understand we're in good terms there. I just try to anticipate these things. That's what my job is as an elder. An elder must anticipate things. If he can, he never can be an elder. Forget it. The job is wide open to somebody that can. Just your dogmatic teachings. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a merchant sacrifice. The that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous. And that's what you're looking at today. If you have the revelation, that is your righteousness, which we'll find out later on. That's exactly what Brother Branham says. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Because righteousness is the Holy Ghost. I was talking to a gentleman not long ago, a Christian caller and gentleman. He said, Brother Branham refused revelation. I said, then you have to refuse Christ, for he is the revelation of God, God revealed in human flesh. Unless you see it, you're lost. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He is the revelation of God. Now, you know what he said? Christ is Mr. God revealed, so on. If you, he is the revelation of God, the Spirit of God revealed in human form, making him the life of God manifested. You follow? Because spirit is nebulous, as far as we're concerned, having no shape or form, but it does. It does not seem to be substance, but life is substance on the ground. It is working through something. And we say the man is living. He is alive. So we're talking about this, see? If you can't believe that, you're lost. You put him a third person, second person, or any other person beside God, you're lost. Except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins, a revelation. What's he talking about? God in Christ. He doesn't throw God in Christ overboard. He shows you how it's done. God in human flesh, but God is spirit or life, not flesh. There you are. Okay. But all gone. No wonder they couldn't see him. No man can come to me except my Father drew him, or draws him. And all the Father has given me and the roots will come to me. That's true. See, you get in, because we're in Christ. Oh, how we should love him, adore him, praise him, to see the fruit of the Spirit in the last days and a bride tree ripening in the top of time. It's going to be kind of hard to pick that place up there for next Sunday, but we're going to have to try to work a recap on this anyway. See what we can do. Okay? You understand all these subject matter, this subject matter? Always we're giving us something new insight and something new light on the very fact of God and his prophet. And we are elect, virtue of the fact we, by elect, have an understanding. Nobody else has. And we can't be proud, can't be arrogant. Doesn't mean a thing. Just means God's glorified. No precedence. No preeminence. God gets the glory. Shall we rise? Gracious eternal Father, again we want to thank and praise you for your love which you gave us tonight, Lord, by letting us come together here and discuss your word, which we knew, Lord, you would help us to discuss with the people and show these things, Father, to confirm the faith, not to clamp down on anybody, Lord, but to clamp down on unbelief, eradicated, rooted out of our very lives. Help us, O God, to realize that this is the way we should go and put everything into this word, Lord, our very lives. Help us, Lord, to put everything to one side but this word. And Lord, we ought to admit that many times as we're saying our words are hollow because we don't mean it the way we ought to mean it. We're just still too lukewarm. Oh, God in heaven, we pray in Jesus' name. Just turn up the fires within us. Turn up those jets and streams of life, oh, God, until it begins to burn, burn, burn. And we are literally beside ourselves with that truth. Even as the prophet himself called his wife aside, literally confessing, I am beside myself with this revelation, but am I crazy? And we know he was not crazy. He was not mental in any way, shape, and form, but it was that with burning in him, Lord. God, we know that every prophet had that burning. We're not prophets, Lord, but we can have a burning in your word because you said you wanted us hot or cold. And Lord, we don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be hot. So help us, Lord, to be fervent in spirit and in this word as never before, watching daily and living until the very life can come forth, which we know is your spirit. And unto thee we'll give the praise because you are alone worthy in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. See Sunday morning at 10:30. Take the name of Jesus with you.